Father God, as we sing these words, it's exciting, it's inspiring. It just fills me with an incredible sense of your love, your power, God. And as we do that, as we have that opportunity to worship you in that way, God, we thank you. We thank you that your Spirit allows us to experience you in that way, that you speak to us, that you teach us in that way. Father God, as we are gathered here, as we seek your face together, we just pray your blessing, God. And as we seek your word together, we pray that you would teach us, that you would fill us with your presence, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much, worship team. That was awesome this morning. So good. It's always good to worship together with the body of believers. This morning, we're going to be wrapping up our summer sermon series. We've been kind of walking through a question through the whole summer, this idea of why do we do the things that we do? We've been exploring the things we do as believers, specifically, mostly, when we get together here on a Sunday morning. Why do we do the things that we do? In order to understand these things that have become such a regular and normal part of the life of a believer, of a follower of Jesus. We've been asking different questions each week. Why do we even get together at all each week? Why do we sing songs together? Why do we study the Bible? Why does someone talk for half an hour? Why do we sometimes dunk people underwater? Why do we give money? Why do we take communion and do small groups and care about accountability and all of these things? And I hope that you were challenged. I hope that you were encouraged as we studied these things, as we looked at the why behind all of these things. I hope you found a new sense of life and purpose in these things that we do together as believers. Because there are good reasons for these things. And I hope that as we studied them, you found a little bit more life in them. These things are important. But as we close this series, and next week we're going to get into some really exciting things. We have an amazing fall in store. And it's going to be really fun as we kind of dig into some of the things that Pastor Dennis and has been praying into and just seeking where we're going to be going. But as we were closing this series, I had one more question that I was going to be dealing with. But more and more, I kept coming back to a different question. And it's a question that kind of underlines all of the things that we've been talking about this summer. Why do we bother? Why do we bother at all? Each of the things that we do are good. Each of the things that we do are kind of connected to each other, though. We do this because we do that, and we do that because of this other thing. And they're all kind of working together. But underneath and behind all of those things is this question that kind of underpins it all. Why do we bother with any of it? Why do we bother at all? Years ago, I worked as a pipe fitter, and we were installing the fire hydrant system for a brand new gas plant north of Fort Saskatchewan, and we were working in these ditches down kind of 10 or 15 feet way down. We were working kind of in crews of two or three, and we were putting these pipes together, and I was just a grunt. I taped pipe. It was really exciting. All summer long, I got to tape pipe. It was awful. It was the worst, let me tell you. But other people got to do exciting jobs. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm a pastor now. Maybe they knew where I was going. They're like, yeah, his hands are a little too soft for this probably. But that was my job. And I wound up working with one guy in particular named Jeremy. And we worked together quite a bit that summer. Every day you were put on different crews and you'd be kind of working in different areas around the plant. But Jeremy and I wound up working together quite a bit. And we'd just kind of, he and I, and we'd be taping pipe together, working in the same area. And more often than not, we got talking about all kinds of things. But we lots of times wound up talking about spiritual things. Because I'm weird. and that's what I like to talk about. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm pretty passionate about spiritual things because I think it's really the most interesting thing we can talk about because it's amazing and weird and fascinating and crazy, and we understand so much of it and we understand so little of it. And I find it genuinely interesting to talk to people about what they think, wherever they're coming from, whatever they believe or think or feel or whatever. I find it fascinating to ask people, what do you think about spiritual things? Where are you coming from? How do you process that reality? Maybe you think it doesn't exist. Whatever. Let's talk about it. I find that so interesting. And we were talking about Jesus one day. And we were asking all kinds of things. We were talking about the cross and sin and following him and all kinds of things. And as we were going along, we were talking about all like big picture stuff. And at the end, he asked me this question that just flat out stumped me. He said, but all of this, why do you bother? Why do you bother with any of it? And in that moment, I froze. I'd never been asked that before. I grew up in the church. I grew up following Jesus. I grew up thinking and talking about these things, doing these things that we've been talking about all summer long. And no one had ever asked me, but why do you bother with any of it? I was totally stumped. In that moment, I had nothing. No one had ever asked me. If he'd asked me, is it true or not? Or what about hypocrisy in the church? Or what about evil in the world or other religions? Or those questions I would have had an answer for. But this simple, blunt question caught me totally off guard. And it's been with me ever since. Because I think it matters. And of course, there's all kinds of answers that I could have given. Those moments, we've all had them. Those moments are so much easier years later. Oh man, I should have said whatever. If I would have just, and then I could have said, and then he would have said, and then I would have said. Those shower debates that we have, we all have them. There's all kinds of good answers, but in that moment, I mean, some of those answers kind of rattled around while I was looking at him. But in that moment, none of them seemed to fit. And I struggled with that. Why did I bother? Why do I bother with any of it? And more, as I've thought about this question, as I've wrestled with it, over the years, I've come back to it again and again and again because I think he hit on something more profound, maybe even than he knew. But the answer, like I say, there's lots of ways we can answer it, but ultimately the answer is because God is. Why do we bother? Because God is. God is. And if that's true, everything changes. Everything has to change around that fact. God is. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to them. I am has sent you. That's the best God could do to communicate just how important and deep and powerful and intimate and infinite he is. I am. That's it. The implications are huge. It goes everywhere from there. But that's the bottom line foundation of it all. God just is. And so everything else. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all of existence, by speaking. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be. And it was so. Over and over. He is before all things. He is after all things. He is permanent, eternal, unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful. He is the creator of all things in heaven and on earth, every atom, every galaxy, every flower, every star, every person, every thought, all spoken into existence by his incredible, limitless power, all cared for and watched over by his mighty, tireless hand. Given value and purpose and beauty by his very nature. And us, we are made in his image, made to reflect him, made to be connected to him, to be with him, to enjoy him, to experience him, this I am. Why do we bother? Because he is. And he is amazing. One of my favorite passages is Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. From the thrones came flashes of like something like lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes or something. In front and in back, the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before him who sits on the throne. And they worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. They say, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. By your will, they were created. And they have their being. Because you are, they exist." Poor John, writing these things. How could he possibly describe something so indescribable? But I love that passage because you get a sense of just how overwhelmed he is as he's trying to describe what it's like to be in the presence of God in some way. I love that he says someone sitting on the throne. Like, it was so overwhelming. It must have been God or something. God is incredible. He is so far beyond what we can understand. He is perfect. He is holy. He is worthy. He is glorious. He is wholly other. And yet, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will live forever with Him. In John 1, in Him is life. In Him is love. John 3:16, His love had to come and make expression that He could save us to be with Him. Why do we bother? Because He is life. Because He came here. Because Jesus is who He says He is. Because the gospel is the most amazing thing in the world. Because sin is real. And its effect is painfully obvious in our own lives, in our own behavior, in our own minds, and in our world and what we see happening. It is painfully obvious what sin has done and is doing, and grace is even more powerful than that, than all of it. Because His love and His sacrifice is enough. Because somewhere between that incredible, overwhelming picture in Revelation and a manger in Bethlehem, in a cave, lies the reality that God is saying, I am so far beyond what you can comprehend, and yet I am walking right beside you. And I want you to be with me. Jesus showed us who God is, His character, His nature, His mind, His love, His power. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and you have seen Him. Jesus is. And He showed us God. He brought God to us that we could see. That we could hear. That we could heal. Jesus preached the kingdom. The reality of God. Of His world. And He lived here with us because God is love and He loves us. We believe that there is something more important than all of this, that there is a reality that extends far beyond our experience here. God told us through His Word and through His prophets of this incredible place, and He showed us through His Son what it's like. And He's promised us that we can live there someday and today by His Spirit. Why do we bother? Because through all these things, through these practices, we can connect with our Creator in a way that reaches something so incredible and deep and profound in our hearts. What we were created for. We believe that God created everything as an expression of His love and power, not because He needs any of this. He doesn't need us, but He wanted to share who He is with us. That we can experience it too. He made us in His image so that we could connect with Him in that incredible way. We believe that we were created to be connected with Him in the deepest and most intimate way possible, and that the ultimate purpose and supreme joy of our life is just to be with Him, to enjoy Him, to glorify Him, because we are, because He is. We've seen it. We've experienced it. My life has been transformed in ways that I can't even understand or imagine by this incredible God, who He is and what He has done. I have seen broken and hurting people, people that have gone through things that I can scarcely imagine, have their lives transformed by this incredible God as He pours His love and His grace and His healing into them. What they overcome is impossible, but God is amazing. His power and His love are incredible, and we have described for us in His word, some incredible and wild scenes, incredible promises, radical testimonies all through His word and through the history of the church and in our church, in this room, incredible, unbelievable testimonies of the faithfulness and love and power of God. And all of it points to the fact that there really is something incredible going on. Something truly amazing is happening all around us, all the time. These things that we do are a critical part of connecting with that, of experiencing that, of practicing that, of sharing it and giving it to others. So, why do we follow Jesus? Because He is God. And He created a way back to relationship with our Creator. Why do we gather together? Because through one another, as the church, we can experience the love and grace and correction and encouragement and fellowship of God Himself in His people, through His people. Why do we baptize? Because it reminds us of the fact that we are dead to selfishness and sin and we have new life in Him. Why do we tithe? Because God is the only thing we need. He gives us everything we need to survive, and we need to be reminded of that in this tangible way. And beyond that, it gives us an opportunity to serve and be a part of His mission and kingdom through this small sacrifice. Why do we worship? Because it's what we were made for. Why do we preach and have a sermon and study the Bible? Because we need to hear the truth. Why do we bother? Because He is all that matters. He is life. He is love. And we need His love. And we live in a world that's so desperately needs His love. That's the best I can do to answer that question. It's taken me a long time to get there. But it's an important one, and I hope it sticks with you. Why do you bother? Because we need to be reminded of just how deep, just how profound, just how incredible this thing is that we celebrate, that we say we live together. It really, really matters. And if we believe that, it transforms everything about who we are and what we do. We need to share that. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You that You are. We thank You that You are this incredible, amazing, overwhelming, powerful, loving being that created everything purely out of a desire to share who You are, that we can experience Your majesty, Your beauty, Your power through Your incredible creation, through our incredible lives, because of everything You have done. Father God, when we hit those low points, when we struggle, when we come up against that wall of why do we bother? Why do I bother with any of this? Sometimes it's really, really, really hard. Sometimes I feel like I'm crazy. It feels like it doesn't make any sense. God, remind us. Show us again who You are. That we can be filled with a passion and a drive to experience that and live in that and share that with anyone and everyone that we encounter. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you for baptism, for worship, for your word. We thank you for your Son who makes all of this possible, who makes all of this make sense. We thank you for your people, that your love, that your arms and hands and feet are real and tangible because your church exists. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are here. As we live in that, God, help us to be that for everyone that we meet, to share that amazing hope that we have because you are. In Jesus' name, amen.